Welcome to Beyond Leading, the podcast that cuts through the noise to get real about leadership, team dynamics, personal growth, and the messy, brilliant reality of work, life, and everything in between. Each episode brings grounded insights, sharp truths, and honest conversations from experienced coaches and leaders as we explore what it really takes to lead well today. We don't deal in one-size-fits-all answers. We spark ideas, offer grounded perspective, and create space for you to work out what fits your world. And every episode comes with a free fact sheet to help you take the ideas further. Just use the link in the show notes or visit beyond-leading.captivate.fm/episode-fact-sheet. I'm Alec Pearson, and in today's episode, I'm joined by Tiffany Bernard and Nick Sellers as we explore one of the most overlooked challenges in modern careers, the visibility gap, the space between the work you do and what people actually know about it. We're unpacking why good work isn't enough anymore, why visibility isn't arrogance, and how even the most capable professionals can end up staying quiet in ways that stall their progress. We'll walk through practical ways to talk about your contribution without feeling like you're bragging, how to make sure your achievements are recognised, and the small habits that build confidence over time. Because in today's workplaces, silence is risky and being seen is what moves you forward.
I want to kick off, Tiffany. Do you think most professionals understand what visibility actually means, or do they confuse it with bragging?
That is a very, very good question. And I think it's at the heart of what we're talking about today, because I think there are a lot of people who have been raised in many cultures. We've been raised that when you talk about yourself, it's rude somehow. It's brash, it's bragging, it's arrogant. And especially in high performers, they tend to get their head down and do the job. They don't, I use the word communicate, they don't inform their leaders as to what that job entails. They don't inform the leaders of the obstacles that they are meeting, either because they think it's not important, or they think maybe that it's a weakness, or they feel that it's obvious and everybody should know. If you're not telling the leader what you've overcome, your leader is not going to be aware of the strengths that you've used to overcome those obstacles. So it comes down to managing up. It's a question of, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm facing, this is what we've overcome, and this is where we are. Don't expect people to see the world the same way you do. Nobody can. So it's not bragging. It's sharing information.
But on that thought, getting the balance right is really key, isn't it? Because we can overshare and we can overinform. And so what is the right level? Surely that's got to be a question that we try to answer.
The thing is, if you go into your leader and you're like, oh, I've had the most amazing week, the things that I've managed to handle, you would not believe. It's just been, I amazed myself. I think that's a little too much. I'm not sure that it's a question of oversharing. It's a question of information versus a story. Okay? So you've got information. This is what we did. This is what we faced. This is what we've overcome. This is where we are today. Facts. Information. The story would be emotions, embellishments, point of view, opinions. That's maybe the things that need to be left out.
But I'm going to counter that with this thought that we can even overshare the details, the stats. And so we've got to pitch the communication. If we're advocating for ourselves, if we are wanting to make sure that we're visible in the right way, we've got to get the level right. Yeah. Because too much detail gets ignored because the boss doesn't have time or inclination for it, no need for it. Too little information is going to make questions come out that will dig into areas that maybe we don't really need them to go into. So that's why I was advocating at the right level.
I think it's a very good point. When I work with my clients, they're all high performers and they tend to take on a task and they complete it. So the first question is always, when you start off with the leader, to ask how they want you to report. Do they want you to report on a weekly basis? How does it look? Is it verbal? Is it by email? Is it on a Slack channel? How do they want that reporting? What does that look like? You can ask them as well the level of detail that they're expecting, because some leaders want more detail than others. So it's a question of getting that clarity around what it is that is actually expected of you. And then just trying it out, getting comfortable with it, because a lot of people are not comfortable with it. So there is going to be that time of experimenting. And ask your leader, is this what you're looking for? Is this necessary? Do you want more? Do you want less? I don't feel this is necessary. Nobody expects you to know yourself, and you're doing it to inform somebody else. So the best way that you can know whether what you're doing is the right thing, ask the somebody else.
I think on that, and I love those ideas about getting regular meetings with your manager. However, one of the things I think we need to watch out for is remembering what we have done. We're talking about the leaders and managers being really busy, but actually we're like that as well. And when we look to reflect about what we've done and what I see from a number of clients, they'll start to talk about the negatives. What hasn't worked this week, where maybe I didn't do as good a job. And I think what is key to this, and maybe this is this new behavior we could all start to learn, is do that daily reflection. You know, a little bit of journaling or recording, whatever you want to call it, just to recap, what have I been doing today? What was good? And out of what was good, what were the value outcomes? So I worked on X challenge, and as a result, the outcome was X, but the benefit was Y.
Mm-hmm.
Just to remind ourselves. So going back to your point, Nick, when we are talking to the managers, it's easy for us to remember what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the most important things are performance reviews. And right now, there's a lot of companies that are doing their mid-year performance reviews, and people tend to take them as a drag rather than seeing them as an opportunity. And for me, the performance reviews are an opportunity to sit down and to actually create what I call a time capsule. Your performance review is not for your manager. Your performance review is for somebody who's going to walk into the office, who has no idea who you are, who's going to pick up the paper and is going to learn something about you. So it's a question of, to your point, Alec, journaling. If journaling's not for you, take time every week just to write down what the wins are.
Yep.
Because if you're doing it twice a year, recency bias is going to come into that. And your performance review is going to be all about what you've done in the last month, when in fact, what you did 6 months ago is far more impactful. So it's a question of keeping a list somewhere, wherever it suits you, of the wins that you've had. And more importantly, how you influence those wins. Because your performance review shouldn't read like statistics, okay? Because the projects that have been completed, everybody knows about. But what people need to know about is what impact you have had. What would not have happened if you were not on that team? What were the sprinkles that you brought to what it was that you were working on? That's what people need to know about, okay? The ABCs of the day-to-day, those are there. Everybody knows them. Visibility and advocating for yourself is letting other people know your strengths. And it's true. We're very, very good at looking at the negatives.
Yeah.
We're also told very often in organizations, work on your weaknesses. No, work on your strengths, because that's where you're going to get ahead.
Uh-huh.
So get those strengths out there. Let people know. And it should be a piece of paper or document that people pick up and go, wow, okay, that was Bob who did that. Impressive. I never knew that there was so much to overcome on that particular project.
I think the other thing, if we don't start to do this, and I've seen a couple of instances of this, is that other people can take credit for what you have done. So for our listeners, how do we handle those situations? If this is happening to us, we were doing something that was a big benefit. We didn't really shout about it. We didn't tell anyone about it. Someone else takes the credit. What are we going to do? How do we overcome that?
How has it been done? I would ask the question. First of all, was it a conversation that took place that you got access to through the grapevine? Or was it a presentation that your boss gave that you were in the audience and yet he wasn't recognizing your involvement? Because sometimes it's not intended for your ears. Mm-hmm. Other times it's actually not caring whether you heard about mm-hmm. it. Either way needs to be tackled, but your method of tackling it may depend on how the credit has been taken, I would say.
Do you know, it's interesting because I've seen that happening across all examples. All the stories you've mentioned, that's where this comes up. So what can we do? I mean, imagine you are in that meeting, your boss is on about your idea, he or she's presenting it as their own idea. What do we then do?
You see, what comes up for me in that situation is it comes down to boundaries. It's like, well, people will treat you in a way that you're allowing them to treat you. So if people feel very comfortable in taking credit for your work in front of you, it's because it's happened before and you've allowed it to happen. So in that instance, I would be looking at working on putting down some boundaries, communication. Again, people are fearful of conflict, so they don't want to stick their hand up and go, actually, that's not entirely right. I was on the project. This is what happened. But there are ways of giving people the tools to be able to do that. What do I say? I don't know. So working with a coach, for example, on how to have the courage to actually say, that's not quite right.
Is there an argument here for dealing with things that have been done in public, and with things that have been done privately, privately? Let's use a couple of examples. So the boss stands up, does a presentation and says, I've completed this. Is there a case for saying you're in the audience and you say, hey, boss, I'd just like to say I really enjoyed contributing or leading this project? Or would you mind explaining to everybody the role I played in this? Does that take bravery or courage? Or is that like a foolish career-ending approach? Similarly, when something's got back to you privately that, oh, Mike was taking credit for those projects that you completed when he was talking to the MD, that's something that's got back to you privately. So do you deal with that with the boss in private and say, I heard that you might have not represented my involvement in those projects? How do you do that? I'm an advocate for public equals public, private equals private, but I'm open to being persuaded otherwise.
I would say it goes to the four that. It goes to fundamentally not allowing it to happen in the first place. I've had several clients that have actually had this happen. If you don't take your seat at the table, somebody else will. Okay, yeah. So it again comes back to making sure that people know what it is that you're working on, what it is that you're doing. That's visibility. When you're in a meeting before the project's finished, if you're not going to say anything, if you're not going to contribute in that meeting, and it's your boss or even a peer who is constantly talking about what's going on, people are automatically going to associate that project with those people. So speak up. Advocate for yourself. This is what we're working on. This is what we've achieved. This is what I bought. So it starts from the very beginning. If people know that you were there, they're not going to pretend that you weren't, because they can't. But if you allow people to take that spotlight from the beginning, they'll take it at the end. They'll take the credit. Very often, the bosses who take the credit are the ones who took the seat at the table that wasn't theirs. Was also that. So it's a tricky situation. But you have to make sure that people know what you're working on. Don't take it for granted that it's obvious and that people know.
That's nicely put. I've got one more point or question, and that is, what does it tell us about the boss or colleague who goes as far as to represent somebody else's work as their own? Why do people do it?
I think going back to Tiffany's point earlier, what I see a lot of, if you're not setting the boundaries at the beginning, people will take advantage of that because they know they can steal an idea and they know that nothing will happen. They'll get the credit. And that does happen in certain industries. Certain sectors are quite bad for that.
Yeah. In the pharmaceutical, for example, when you get to the research, when you're doing research, it's terrible. People are stealing ideas. They're stealing credit for breakthroughs all over the place. Mm. What does it say about the leader? It says that the leader has been allowed to do that and got where he is. It's not a very elegant way of putting it, but very often people get promoted because they squawk the loudest, especially in traditional leadership organizations. Okay, the one where it's more dog eat dog and I'm going to win and everybody else has to lose. It is each man for themselves. And that's what they've always done. And that's how they got to where they are. And that were with people from several organizations that you've now got a problem because the leadership is actually inept. Yeah. Want of the better words. The wrong people have been promoted consistently. These people have always done it. They're not going to stop now unless you don't allow them to.
I love that advice. Thank you very much. So rather than let it become a thing, make sure that the visibility and the self-advocacy is present from the start.
Yeah, 100%.
But here's the challenge. I'm linking this now to mindset. Because some people will say, yeah, but if I talk about my achievements, it means they're not that good because I've got to tell someone. So, yeah, are they actually any good or they're not that good? Mindset-wise, how do we get that confidence up to start doing what we've discussed so far?
Let's take a project, okay? You've got 10 different facets to achieving a project, let's say, all right? The project will get talked about. The result of the project will get spoken about. Advocating for yourself is not necessarily talking about the project in its end form. It's talking about your contribution along the way. And it doesn't matter if your contributions are good, bad, or indifferent. People are not going to see them. Everybody has got their head down and is working on their own part of that project. So if you want people to know what your contribution is, and this is what's important when you're looking for promotion, if you want people to know what your contribution is, you have to tell them. Because nobody else on the team, or very, very rarely, will the other people on the team lift their heads long enough to say, oh, you know what, Bob was doing an amazing job. Mm. There are those people, and they make fabulous leaders, but they're few and far between. Everybody is looking on their own plate. So it's not a question of it's good, it's bad. Take the judgment out of it. If it's important to you, let other people know what you've done. If something's happened that you're proud of, and it happens every day where you face an obstacle and you think, I have no idea how I'm going to get around this. And you find a solution, you find a way, and it comes good. Mm-hmm. Unless you tell people that problem existed in the first place, they're never going to know that you found a solution. So you have to let people know what it is that you have resolved. It's not a sign of weakness. You didn't create the problem. And even if you did, you found a solution. This is where people's strengths lie.
I think, Alec, the point that Tiffany makes is well made. When we're informing, we're not bigging ourselves up. And it's bigging ourselves up is the thing that we might be shying away from.
Yeah.
So it's not overreaching. It's not making out like our contribution was bigger than it was. It's not making out that we're more important than anybody else or anything like that. It's simply saying, this is what's happened. This is how it was dealt with. Now we've moved on.
Exactly. I work with a lot of leaders who also have to advocate for themselves to their leaders. And that gets a bit tricky because you have very, very good leaders that are constantly advocating for the team. They talk in terms of we constantly. People don't understand what it is that they have done. So for those leaders who do talk in terms of we, when you are doing your performance review, you're doing it on yourself. You're not doing it on your team. Yeah. It's very important to push forward what it is that you have done. Your team is amazing. And your team is amazing because of what you have done. So you need to highlight what it is that you've done. Otherwise, people are not going to know. It's not bragging. It's not arrogant to say, I did this and my team achieved that.
Is part of this visibility and advocating for yourself, is it also about sharing lessons learned?
I think that comes into it. I think that shows also where your strengths are. Because lessons learned come from our strength.
Right. We were talking a little while ago about strengths and weaknesses. I'm an advocate of, yes, leaning to our strengths, which is good. I don't really believe that we can turn a weakness into a strength. What we can do is we can maybe make a weakness less weak so that instead of being incredibly uncomfortable when we're giving a presentation on stage. We can become somewhat uncomfortable, or we can become slightly comfortable with it, but we don't necessarily turn ourselves into a TV broadcaster. You get where I'm going with that? So yeah. Strengths and weaknesses come into this as well. And so lessons learned have to come in as well, that we learn. And Alex mentioned mindset. Mindset comes into that. Sometimes we limit ourselves with beliefs that are unfounded. Sometimes actually maybe we're not articulate on the camera or when in front of a big audience, but we can make ourselves a little more articulate with practice. Maybe that we're never going to get the kind of anchor role on the news, but it may be that we can do a good enough job in the environment that we're in.
Yeah. I'm laughing right now because Alec will know this very well. Years ago, I said to Alec, this whole public speaking thing is just not for me. I'm not one of those people. And he was like, who are those people? I'm like, I don't know, but I'm not one of them. Anyway, we worked through it and nobody's been able to shut me up since. So it's a question of your strengths are your strengths and you need to capitalize on those. You need to leverage them. Okay. We need to know where our weaknesses are, because when we don't know what our weaknesses are and we blunder into situations, it would be better to get somebody else to do it, is the thing. It's like when we know where we're weak, that's where we can defer to the team. And I always use the same analogy, and don't ask me where I got it from because it's a bit weird, but here we go. When you're in the kitchen, you're not going to cut your bread with a spoon.
That sounds like something that's been translated into English from another language.
I don't know where it came from, but if you're looking to cut bread, use a knife, but you have to know which on your team is the knife. And if you've got somebody who's, I can do everything, all right, this is where not acknowledging your weaknesses can become a problem.
Just stepping back, I'm thinking mindset, confidence for some of our listeners listening to this thinking, okay, however, maybe a little bit skeptical to speak to the boss and let them know what I'm doing. I'm also thinking, instead of maybe verbally communicating with the boss, maybe a first step for some is to start talking about their value and what they have done through email. Would we find that easier as a starting point just to see how we feel every time we've sent that email? What are we then feeling? Is that a weight off our shoulders? Do we feel better? Mm-hmm. To then start to get that confidence up to do it face to face, which for many of us could be tough, particularly at the beginning.
I think that's a really well-made point. The beauty of an email, a written communication, is that before you send it, you can go back and recraft it.
Yeah.
You can run it past somebody even and get their opinion on how well worded it is, whether it gets to the point and so forth. Think about your boss. Boss might be an incredibly busy person, somebody that doesn't read things in real time, but actually stores them up until the end of the day. You go and interrupt them in their office without an appointment, you may not get their attention. If there's somebody that does work through their email inbox, just not immediately, be prepared for that. Well, I think your point's really well made. We can work up to things.
Absolutely. And however, we have to be prepared for the discomfort. All right. These things are going to feel uncomfortable, and they're going to feel uncomfortable whether you're talking or whether you're emailing. They will feel uncomfortable because you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. All right. However, in that discomfort, you can take comfort in the fact that you are growing, you're learning something new, and that it will very soon become natural.
New behavior. Absolutely. So first practical tip. So someone's listening thinking, I mean, we've talked about maybe doing emails as an example. What would be the first practical tip to improve visibility? What would you say?
I would go with performance review. It's not public. You're not having to talk to your boss. You're not having to pluck up the courage, but you are taking control of how people see you. Mm-hmm. Visibility is all about when somebody goes, Tiffany Barnard, you want everybody to go, ah, yes. You don't want people going, Tiffany, Tiffany, Tiffany. That's what visibility is. So your performance review is you in a document. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is you in the document, sit down, those people who are uncomfortable with their strengths, and kill me if you will, I advise them to use ChatGPT, because ChatGPT will give you the very best version of you. And you don't have to go through the discomfort of, oh, that feels awkward, that I can't say that. Because when we put our strengths into ChatGPT and ChatGPT comes back, I guarantee you 98% of us will go, that's quite nice. I like that. So use it. Get comfortable with talking about what you can do. Get comfortable with who you are, what your strengths are, what your gift is. Mm-hmm. That would be the first step.
If I could just compliment what Tiffany said with a thought, don't think that the performance review, whilst it might be a single meeting or a single form fill in the middle of a year, prepare for it, because this could be a career defining moment. So make sure that you gather all of the right information, that you do express it. As Tiffany said, use ChatGPT if necessary, upload what you've written and say, improve on that, please. But do prepare well so that when you go into it, your level of confidence is good because you go in feeling prepared.
And I want to add something that I have with one of my clients who I'm working with. They have a manager who doesn't really manage. And they were like, what do I do with this performance review? It's literally just going to fall into the ether. And I'm like, what is the process? The process is I fill in this document. The manager then takes the document and defends it to the people above him. I'm like, fine, what's the problem? He doesn't read the document, so he doesn't know what he's talking about. I said, fine, so give him the performance document and give him a bullet list of what you think your main points are and tell him to take that and use that. Mm-hmm. So know your manager. Don't try and change them. Don't try and get them to fit your expectations, okay? Know who you're working with. If there's somebody who is not good at reading through all these things, give them the information that you want them to take forward. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that.
As managers, we often have to manage our manager, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Managing up.
So your point's well made, Tiffany.
Okay. As we're coming to the end, final thoughts.
I'm going to say become comfortable through practice with being visible. I'm an introvert, and introverts can be very poor making their voice heard. I know that introversion and extroversion is about how you recharge your batteries, but I think those that are of a more kind of shy, retiring disposition will tend to sit back and expect things to just come their way. Mm-hmm. I think visibility and advocating for yourself is about making sure that the appropriate level of knowledge is shared about what you've been involved in and what's been achieved. But I think it's also about starting to look forward to what you would like to come along in the future. More mm-hmm. training, qualifications, greater responsibilities. So it's not just about looking back and saying, I've achieved this. It's about saying, I also want to achieve more. So I would leave you with that thought.
I'm going to leave you with the fact that if you are not going to champion yourself, why would you expect anyone else to do it for you?
I'll maybe leave with a quote then as a takeaway, maybe for all of us to think about. And the quote is, if I'm not communicating my value, I'm relying on other people's memory. And that is risky.
Mm-hmm. Quite right.
Tiffany, Nick, thank you very much. And until next time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, both.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of Beyond Leading, the podcast that cuts through the noise to get real about leadership, team dynamics, personal growth, and the messy, brilliant reality of work, life, and everything in between. Don't forget to sign up for your episode fact sheet at beyond-leading.captivate.fm. You'll also find the link in the show notes, and we'll email it straight to you. If today's conversation sparked something for you, please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and share this episode with a colleague or friend. Please join us again for more conversations that challenge the status quo, spark real growth, and help you lead beyond the title and everything in between. And if you'd like to support the podcast, we'd love it if you left us a quick review on your podcast provider or on Podchaser. It really helps others find the show.